Well, tonight, I would like to begin with some historical realities, recent history. With the Rio Olympics recently completed, most of us here, probably all of us, have heard the name Usain Bolt. This 30-year-old Jamaican is regarded as the fastest human being ever timed. There may have been some individuals who ran faster than him, but they were not timed. But at this point, he is the fastest human being ever timed. He has run the 100-meter race in an astonishing 9.58 seconds. I mean, I can't even get my brain around that when I think about that. 100 meters in 9.58 seconds. Well, how did Usain Bolt do that? Did he wake up one morning to himself, "I think I'll run the 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. Did he sit around all day surfing the internet, eating donuts from Krispy Kreme, and then occasionally run a few laps around a track? Well, interestingly, the Bible actually tells us, it reveals to us, how Usain Bolt accomplished his world record-breaking feat, whether he himself realizes it or not. He probably doesn't. But turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please. And I'd like to read, beginning at verse 24. Here the Bible reveals how Usain Bolt accomplished his world record-breaking feat. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. "Do you not know," the Apostle Paul writes, "do you not know that they that run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Even so run, that you may attain. And every man that strives in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So Bolt, the Bible tells us, exercised self-control in all things, self-control, self-mastery, self-denial in all things relevant to running the 100-meter race. That's how he did that. Self-control, self-denial, self-mastery. But notice from this passage that Bolt ran as he did in order to obtain a corruptible crown, a gold Olympic medal that will one day perish and will certainly not go with him into eternity. The true Christian, the Apostle Paul tells us, also exercises self-control in all things, but he does it, the Christian does it, to obtain an incorruptible crown. And that incorruptible crown will be placed upon the Christian's head in glory when his earthly race is finished, and the ultimate goal of perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ has been realized. And for that is the Christian's ultimate goal, of course. It is not something here on this earth, this life, but rather it is that crown in glory which God has ordained from before the foundation of the world. And we know that from other passages in the Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8, verse 29. "For whom he," God, "foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." So you see, that has been determined by God Almighty for every true Christian, and every true Christian runs the Christian race here on this earth in order to obtain that incorruptible crown. And Paul prayed for believers that they would indeed succeed in obtaining that incorruptible crown. He prayed for them that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prayed that Christians would bear fruit in every good work, that they would be increasing in the knowledge of God. So the question that should be coming to your mind tonight, especially if you are a genuine Christian, is how is this all to be accomplished? How am I to run the race? How am I to increase in the knowledge of God? How am I to have spiritual wisdom? How is this to be accomplished? How am I to exercise self-control? Well, you are to do that by having the intake of the Word of God, the Bible, in your heart and life every single day. That is what you are to do. You must exercise self-denial, self-control, bring the Word of God into your heart and soul every day in order to run the race that is set before you, in order to obtain that incorruptible crown, and indeed that is what you must do. You should not be passive. You should not think like Usain Bolt did not think. He did not certainly sit around eating donuts, surfing the internet to do what he did, and you must not think that you should be passive. But at the same time, we need to understand God must also work in us. So turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and beginning at verse 12. You're not to be passive, but then you must understand this reality as well, Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So you see here, Paul was not schizophrenic, he was not crazy, but he was saying the reality, you must work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what you must do. You must not be passive. You must not have this idea that you just sit back and do nothing. But at the same time, as a Christian, you must remember, God is the one who has to work in you for His good will, His good pleasure. And if He's not working, indeed, all of your work will be for nothing. But then you don't sit back again and do nothing. You work as though it all depended upon you. You study the Bible as though it all depends upon you, knowing all the while that God Himself must be working or else all is for nothing. And to do that, you must bring the Bible into your heart and soul, and you must exercise self-control and self-denial. We'll turn also to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, another passage that teaches us that we indeed must exercise ourselves. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life which now is, and of that which is to come. Well, according to this passage, you see, if we are to receive the incorruptible crown, we must not only refuse the unprofitable and wrong teachings of the world, and they abound. They abound. All you have to do is listen to the television reports. All you have to do is read the BBC World News on your computer. All you have to do is just look around you in the world. You get lots of input, and you need to refuse worldly, ungodly, unbiblical teachings. But not only are you to do that, Paul says in this passage, 1 Timothy 4, we are to daily, as Christians, enter into God's spiritual gymnasium and train and work out our spiritual muscles, having godliness, Christ-likeness, and heaven as our goals. And the word translated exercise in my Bible translation, or discipline or training, is the Greek word from which we get our word gymnasium. The words exercise yourself unto godliness are, my brothers and sisters in Christ, a command from God to you. You are commanded to do this. Now think again of the Rio Olympics, and think especially of the gymnasts, the male and female gymnasts. I love to watch the male gymnasts in the Olympics. And as you look at what they do, you realize they didn't get to do what they do, again, by sitting down and doing nothing. They went to the gym 40 hours a day, week after week, for years, in order to exercise themselves physically to do what they do as male gymnasts. And think also that these Olympic gymnasts in Rio did not quit. They did not quit when they fell off the balance beam or missed the high bar and fell to the ground. They did not stop. No, these gymnasts began their exercising, continued their exercising through falls and failures, disappointments and difficulties, pain and injuries. I watched one of the men, his name, I don't know how you pronounce it, he's an American, but originally from Cuba, Donal Leyva, something like that. And he did the high bar. Boy, he did the parallel bars, the rings, everything. But watching him on the high bars, you know, he's swinging around on this high bar, and then he lets go and does some twists and then grabs onto the high bar again. Then he switches his hands over, and then he lets go again, and he does some twists, and he grabs onto it. It's like, this is unbelievable what this guy's doing. And I thought to myself, I'm sure to get to that point, there were many times when, as he twisted around, he missed the high bar and fell down to the padded floor. And I'm sure he bruised himself. I'm sure he injured himself. I'm sure it wasn't easy. But he succeeded in doing what he did. He got some medals because he not only began to exercise, he continued to exercise. He didn't quit and give up. And if you, as a Christian, are going to enter into heaven at last, you must begin the Christian race. You must continue the Christian race. You cannot stop and give up. And when you meet with disappointments, and when you meet with failures, and when you meet with pain, and when you have troubles, whatever the matters may be, you must get up again and say, I must persevere. I must, by God's grace and power, exercise self-control, self-denial. I must be bringing in the Word of God to my heart and soul every day if I am going to indeed arrive in heaven at last. So all of that's just to set the stage for this matter of reading God's Word each day. You must read the Word of God each day to nurture your soul, to indeed arrive in heaven at last. There have been surveys done in America for recent years surveying people who call themselves born-again Christians and asking the question, do you read your Bible every day? And the most recent survey in America of born-again Christians, people who say, I'm born again, revealed that only 18% of those who claim to be born again read their Bibles every day. Only 18%. That should shock you. But I ask you the question, are you reading your Bible every day? Are you doing that? Are you making time to feed your soul, to read the Word of God? Are you exercising self-control, self-denial? Are you doing that because you believe that indeed you must do that? You must do that to run the race. You must work out your salvation with fear and trembling in order to obtain that incorruptible crown. Yes, God Himself must also work in you. But it's not a matter of you being passive. Are you convinced of that? Are you reading your Bible every day? Well, you have the right to ask the question, well, where in the Bible does it tell me that I'm to read the Bible every day? Well, I would like you to turn now to Matthew chapter 12. We can learn from the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ and the example of the Lord Jesus Christ to understand that we indeed should be reading the Bible, the Word of God, every day. So Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. Matthew 12, verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which it was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Turn now to Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 3. Matthew 19, verse 3. Jesus, again, is the one speaking to Pharisees. Matthew 19, verse 3. And there came unto him Pharisees, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You see clearly from just these two examples, the Lord Jesus Christ expected these Jewish people, his hearers, he expected them to read the Scriptures. Now, I understand they didn't all have Bibles in their hands, the Scriptures in their hands like we do. I haven't figured that all out. But clearly, Jesus is condemning them because they either read without understanding or more likely, that's probably the case for some, but in other cases, they just simply were not bringing the Word of God into their minds and hearts. Have you not read this, Jesus said? Have you not read this? Have you not read this? You see, we need to be reading the Word of God. We don't want to hear the condemnation of Jesus Christ that we have not read the Word of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4 and verse 4. Jesus is being tempted by Satan. And Jesus says here in Matthew 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, the Lord Jesus, I believe, was teaching, was saying here to Satan, it's not bread that sustains a man's life. It's the sovereign word of Almighty God that sustains a man's life. You could eat three meals a day of every week, every month. But you see, ultimately, it's God who gives you life and breath. God's the one who determines the hour of your death. You may be eating the best nutritious meals every single day, but God is the one who upholds you. He's the one who gives you life and breath. But Jesus, I think, is also saying that it is the Word of the living God that is like bread to us and that gives us also spiritual life. If you do not read the Word of God, you're not getting the bread of the Word of God. And just as you must eat food to maintain physical health, you must eat the bread of the Word of God to maintain spiritual health. And sometimes Christians are moaning and complaining that they don't, you know, I'm so struggling with this and I'm struggling with that and discouraged here and I can't seem to make progress in holiness and they complain and they whine and everything, and you start to ask questions of them, well, why is this? What's going on? How are your personal devotions? How are your personal devotions? How's your Bible reading? I recently had interaction with a young lady. She's 23 years old. She's a member of a church. She professes to be a Christian. I believe she is. But she struggles with assurance. And she struggles with worldliness. And she said, I struggle with my personal devotions. Well, what do you mean by that? You told me you were training for a half marathon. And you ran a half marathon. You made time to train for a half marathon. You ran a half marathon and you're struggling with your personal devotions. What are you talking about? Well, she doesn't read her Bible. She doesn't read it. She goes to church on Sundays, but she doesn't read her Bible each day. She hadn't read it in weeks. Hadn't read it really in months. I said, why are you calling that struggle? I don't call that struggle. There's no self-denial. There's no exercising self-control. There's no self-mastery. Don't call it struggles. You see, sometimes Christians don't speak the truth. They're not facing the truth. They're living in a dream world. And if that's you here tonight, I urge you, face the truth, face reality, repent, and turn to Christ and ask Christ for His grace that you will indeed change and be back in His Word. But you see, part of the problem in these situations, it's like an anorexic. Do you know what an anorexic is? It's somebody who eats and then vomits it out, eats and then vomits it out, or eventually they just don't eat at all and they become extremely thin. Well, when you do that, when you're not eating properly, you don't set a steak before the anorexic that you want to see that anorexic recover. You don't put a steak before him or her. They can't digest that. You have to give them small portions of food each meal, each day, and you gradually increase it. There's lots of other things you have to do to bring them to back to good health. But they don't actually have an appetite for food. They've lost the appetite for food. So if you are a professing Christian and you're not reading your Bible each day, and if you tomorrow say, okay, Pastor Smith said this in that message, I'm going to start tomorrow. Good, you should do that. I'm going to read 3 chapters in the Gospel of Mark. You're probably not being realistic. You need to say, I'll start with Mark 1 and I'll read for 15 minutes. And I'll put a post-it note where I stopped. And I'll ask God for grace that on Tuesday morning I'll read, starting at that post-it note, and read another 15 minutes. And you keep doing that to give yourself appetite, hunger, once again, for the Word of God. You have to be realistic, but you got to start and you got to continue and you got to keep doing that and increase your intake of the Word of God so that your appetite for the Word of God is restored. That's what you have to do. Face the truth about your life before God and before His Word. Face the truth and then repent and ask Christ for grace. Because even these sins of failing to do what you should do, even the neglect of God's Word, all of these sins can be washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. And again, that is the amazing reality about Jesus Christ, the Savior. He is a gracious, omnipotent Savior. But I would like to give you some additional practical helps for this matter of personal Bible reading. You need to schedule a time and a place to read your Bible every day. Some have the objection, well, I don't have the time. And some are intimidated by the size of the Bible. But can you not give 15 minutes each day to read the Bible? Is that really asking too much? And if you insist, I just don't have 15 minutes, then I say to you, you need to cut something out of your schedule in life in order to get 15 minutes. I'm not saying you should be satisfied eventually with only 15 minutes of Bible reading. I'm just saying if you are having problems in this matter of personal devotions, be realistic, start out realistically, but have a goal that I'll be reading more of the Bible than 15 minutes each day, but start off realistically. You've got to cut things out of your schedule. Like this girl that I mentioned, you know, she found time to train for a half marathon and run a half marathon. And talking to her, she found time to watch television. She found time to go to the movies. So you see, it's just nonsense when somebody says, I'm struggling with my personal devotions, I don't have enough time. It's just nonsense. Humble yourself before God. Cut some fat out of your schedule. And then find a time in your schedule each day to read your Bible. And if you can do that in the morning, fine. If with your work schedule, there's a man in our church, he has to be in New York City for work at 5 a.m. He has to leave his home at 4 a.m. He gets up at 3 a.m. He finds it impossible to read his Bible at that point in time. That's fine. He reads it when he gets home. But if you can make the time early in the morning before children are awake, you make the time to do that and you find a place to do it. And I'm just going to give some suggestions. This is personal. My wife and I get up usually at 5:30 in the morning. We make coffee. Helps to get the brain going. She goes into the living room with her coffee and her Bible. I go upstairs to the bedroom with my coffee and my Bible. She has her personal devotions before the day really gets rolling. The same with me. Time of prayer as well. It's more than 15 minutes. But I'm just saying, that's what we do. It's a place, a time in your schedule. That's what you must do if you are to live by the bread of the Word of God. In this matter, I think Jesus is a good example. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1. And verse 35. Mark 1, verse 35. And in the morning, a great while before day, he, Jesus, rose up and went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So what I'm saying is, here you see from the example of the Lord Jesus what we should ideally do. Again, you may not be able to do it early in the morning, and if you cannot, that's fine. But schedule a time and a place to read your Bible each day. But if you can follow this pattern of the Lord, that is wonderful. You find a solitary place not only to pray, but to read the Word of God, to get the bread of the Word of God into your heart, into your soul, in order that you will prosper spiritually, become more like Jesus Christ, run the race that is set before you, obtain eventually that incorruptible crown, and in this race here on earth, you will then be able to do wonderful spiritual and practical good for other Christians as well as for unbelievers around you, because you will be equipped spiritually yourself. So that you interact with somebody at the gas station or in the barber shop or at Walmart or in the school or in your neighborhood. And you are now prepared. God has been feeding you and you are now able to feed somebody else. And when you do that, that gives delight to your soul, it pleases your Savior, and it will further encourage you to all the more read the Word of God and bring the food of the Word of God into your souls. Let's seek God in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your Word, and we pray that you would work in each one of our hearts and lives, that we would seek you earnestly with all of our hearts, that we would do this by reading your Word, studying your Word, that you would give each of us a hunger and a thirst for your Word, that you would help all of us in this auditorium to take practical steps each day to bring your Word into our hearts and souls, And Lord, as Your people do that, as we do that, feed us with Your Word and make us more like Christ. Increase our knowledge of You, the living God, and then use us in our very needy world. So we ask that You would answer our prayers graciously and abundantly, for we come to You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.